That actually when one became mature in spiritual life, he's directly guided by Krishna from his heart actually. So there is no more opportunity to do any mistake and to get some reaction or to get some, let's say, good karma who will bring some pleasure and later on will bring suffering. So what we're going to do, we will start with the next verse because the next verse is explaining the five action that is mentioned in that verse. Adhisthanam tathakarta karanam cha pritak vidam vividasha pritak shesta devam shivatra panchanam shamam adhisthanam latakata karanam sha pritak vidam vividasha pritak shesta devam shivatra panchanam. Someone want to follow? Adhisthanam tathakarta charanam sa pritagvidam vividashta pritagshesta devam shedvatra panchanam. Adhisthanam tathakarta karanam shakrita vidam vividaksha pritakshesta devam shavatra panchamam. Adhisthanam, the place. Tata, also. Karta, the worker. Karanam, instrument. Cha, and. Pritagvidam, of different kind. Sorry. Vivida, various. Cha, and. Pritag, separated. Seshta, the endeavors. Devam, the supreme. Sha, also. Eva, certainly. Atra, here. Panchamam, the fifth. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul are the five factors of action. So again, if someone wants to read the proverbs. Yes?
The word adhisthanam refers to the body. The soul within the body is acting to bring about the results of activity and is therefore known as karta, the doer. That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in the Sruti. Ezahi, Rasta, Sirasta, Krishna, Upanishad. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra by the verses Jno Ka Eva 2.318 and Karta Sastra Alfatta 2.333. The instruments of action are the senses, and by the senses the soul acts in various ways. For each and every action there is a different labor, but all one's activities depend on the will of the super soul who is seated within the heart as a friend. The supreme lord is the super cause. under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the super soul situated within the heart is naturally not bound by any activity. Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their action. Everything is dependent on the supreme will, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead.
So here Prabhupada give from Bhagavad Gita give us the five place of action. That is the body, means gross and subtle body, the performer, the soul, the various senses, means the taste, the tongue, taste, touch, vision, hearing, smelling, the mind, and different kind of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. So what does it mean actually, because we are always acting, something is always going on. So generally action begins through the senses, and through the senses we contemplate something, then we start to think about it and develop some desire, and from desire to obtain something we must act, some action is required. Means materially speaking or spiritually speaking, because even in the path of devotional service, we must do something. Nothing is just magic. Some endeavor have to be here. So start through the senses, then some contemplation, then the mind is thinking about it, the desire manifests. Then we have to do something, and to do something we need some tool. So the body is required to act, to think, to move things, and like different kind of endeavor could be a student that has to do an essay. So he has his works to do, so he has to perform some action to get some resolve. So some endeavor has to be here. He has to think, he has to study, he has to write. So the body is required, the soul that is already the person who really wants to achieve something is also present. So through the senses we could act properly, because for a student, for example, to write the essay, he need to read, so he need to see what is he doing. And ultimately the resolve, the resolve is given by the super soul. It's not just by our own endeavor that we will get what we desire. There is a sanction that comes after that. And let's see, there is a word who said like, man propose and God dispose. So the resolve is never in our hand. And a very simple way to understand this is that generally in life, you may agree or not, we have so many desires, we do so many plans, but generally they never work as we plan them. We try to make something, we start to make some plan, then generally something happens, but never in the way that we really want it or we expect it. So this shows to us that there is some other power who are working somewhere. So we may be conscious of it or not, this doesn't matter, the life goes on, the thing goes on. And actually, at the end of the purport, Prabhupada explained that those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible from their action. Everything is depending on the supreme will, the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead. So it shows here that for someone who became fully Krishna conscious, he really understands that it's not through his action that the things goes on, that the life goes on, that the things manifest. It's through Krishna energy. And in the purport, it is explained that actually the soul is the door, but on a very tiny scales, actually, because actually the ultimate door is the super soul, is Krishna, who really organizes everything. Because if we see our position, we are spirit soul, conditioned, we live inside the body. So this body is not our body, it belongs to Krishna. All the material nature around us is not ours, this belongs to Krishna. The mind, the intellect is not ours. So how could we be the doer of everything if we don't have anything in our possession? And everything is first given by Krishna. Then he allowed us to utilize this in a proper way. So actually what we really have is the choice to use everything who came in touch with us in the proper way, means in the service of Krishna, in the service of Prabhupada's mission, serving to the devotees or serving human society by giving Krishna consciousness. This is really the real thing we have, is to make the proper choice. And yesterday or the day before in the class, it was mentioned about how to get knowledge from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Means Guru, the representative of Krishna, Sadhu, the saintly person, and Shastra, the philosophy, the book. So the knowledge is spoken by Krishna, so the philosophy, the knowledge comes from the book. But there is another fact that is very important, and it's mentioned in that verse. This is the Paramatma, the super soul. Because we could study the book, we could hear, ask questions to the devotees, but the understanding is coming from the Paramatma. So if Krishna in the heart doesn't allow us to understand, we will never understand nothing, and we will never be able to apply anything properly in life. So this again shows that if Krishna doesn't give his mercy to us, we have just no hope, we cannot do nothing. And our behavior, our sincerity is what will open for us the door of that mercy. That we have to act, we have to do something. For those who practice this Krishna consciousness, we know that we have to rise up early, we have to chant certain amount of rounds, 16 rounds, we have to try to be attentive. So this means endeavor, performing some action, doing something to get something in return. It needs some work, some personal, involvement. And from that endeavor, Krishna is looking how we are doing things, what is the purpose of our action, if we are sincere or not, if we do this to please him, if we do it sincerely to progress, or if we do it for some other purpose. And this, maybe nobody knows this, we know it from our heart, but it's not possible to cheat Krishna actually. So any resolve we're going to get in life, any understanding, it will be given by Krishna because of our endeavor and our sincerity. So, yes, like... and this will come next in the verse, those verses who follow, is speaking about when we are conditioned, when we are not Krishna conscious, or like us, not so much Krishna conscious, still we think that we are doing something. We are. We have to do this in that way because it needs to be done now. And we are not really able to understand that everything is already planned by Krishna. Everything is already arranged by him. And what we have to learn to do is to understand where is our proper position and what we should do at that proper time, actually. Yesterday we was talking about ignorance, passion and goodness. And we came to a point to talk about the goodness. And because to be Krishna conscious, one has to be situated in the present. Krishna consciousness is not in the past, because in the past, from the past we could get experience and understanding about what to do, what not to do. And we could do some plan, like project our future, what I'm going to do tomorrow and what I should do for my service in 1 or 2 hours. But this is not really the life. Because the life, to experiment the life, is right now in the present. And Krishna consciousness means to be in the present. And to think about the past, I mean, when it's not related to Krishna consciousness. For example, when someone lives a material life, when he thinks about the past, this is the mode of ignorance who is acting on him. He just think about the past and he's remembering, oh, this was nice and now my life is just not so nice. So they're just remembering good time. And generally also they project themselves in the future to try and to imagine what to do to again feel something nice and enjoy something. But they just miss the present because they are here somewhere doing something, but their mind is in the future or their mind is in the past. So they cannot really experiment the real life that it's right now in the present. And to think in the present is to think in the mode of goodness. And yesterday we were talking about the mode of goodness, how to bring the mind in the mode of goodness to get some stability, some peace. So actually the mind is born from the mode of goodness. The quality of the mind is the mode of goodness. The intellect is from the mode of passion, because it needs some creativity, it needs some stimulation to produce. And the false ego, that is also the third subtle element of the body, is from the mode of ignorance. So the false ego, we must always learn to see him and to avoid it, to leave it in its place. And to bring the mind in the mode of goodness, meet in the present time. And if in the present time we could focus the mind on Krishna, then we could be Krishna conscious right now, not yesterday and not tomorrow. Because to be Krishna conscious means to be Krishna conscious now in what we are doing, whatever we do. It doesn't matter what we are doing, but right now I'm doing something, so I'm doing this to learn to please Krishna. And this means to be Krishna conscious. If someone is leading a kirtan for the deities, is chanting Hare Krishna, he's supposed to think about Krishna positively and to chant for his pleasure. But someone could lead a kirtan, see the deities, and think about going get an ice cream in the restaurants. So this is not really Krishna conscious. Actually, the body is engaged, the world is engaged, but the mind is really not engaged. And to be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness means engaging the body, the world, the senses, and the mind. So to engage the body is not difficult. Because even if the mind, if we don't want to do something, sometimes we do it. For example, someone don't want to go to his job because he don't like his job, but he need to get some salary to care about his family. So we will go for work. So as a devotee is the same. We may have some service to do. We may not like to do it, but we will do it. So to engage the body is not difficult. To engage the speech, or to see some pictures of Krishna is not difficult also. We could do it. And we could talk about some Krishna katha, but if the mind is still somewhere else, we just get a little benefit of it. So the real difficulty actually in Krishna consciousness is when we are doing something with the body, with the senses, or with the intellect, is to focus the mind in what we are doing now. And this is really the things to achieve, to completely use all the, like it's mentioned in that verse, like the body, the place of action, the various senses, and all the endeavor we are doing actually. And if we do it, we will really see a difference, because we will see that Krishna will be pleased and we will be more in contact with him. And because the mind is really compared to a mirror actually, who reflect. So if the mirror is right now clean and properly placed, the reflection is complete actually. So I don't know if Someone have some question now or want to say something? Yes. Yeah, because there is we have the gross body, so the five senses of the gross body, and there is the subtle body, false ego, mind, and intelligence. And those three elements come from one of those gunas. So the false ego is coming from ignorance, illusion. It's given by the super soul, but everybody has some intelligence. Like we store, we learn, everything we learn. Like even not from the, let's say, not spiritually speaking. Like I said before, the understanding is given by the super soul, is sanctioned by the super soul. But the intellect itself is from the mode of passion. Because it is used to generate something, to create something. If someone wants, like Lord Brahma, he's under the mode of passion. He's in charge of the creation of the universe. So he has to utilize his intellect to create things, to develop something. And the mode of goodness is like Lord Vishnu, who is in charge of the mode of goodness. He's made to maintain everything. If you have no knowledge and no goodness, you cannot keep something for a long time. Because in this material creation, everybody who is set up, who is built, will be destroyed very soon. So to keep it properly, you need some knowledge and to give some care. And this is from the mode of goodness. The mind is born from the mode of goodness. So as soon as the mind is touched by passion of ignorance, it is disturbed. It cannot be steady, it cannot be peaceful. Because, for example, let's say, again, to come back to Krishna consciousness, the goal is to remember Krishna, never forget him, to fix one mind on Krishna, right now at the present time. So as soon as the mind start to connect with something from the past related to ignorance or something related to material life, he is looking for some sense gratification or something, he will start to be agitated and start to be disturbed because he start to be connected with the guna, with another guna that is not from his qualities. And as soon we start to make some plan, I have to do this, I have to do so many things, and we start to be very active by trying to find a solution to do this and to do that. If we go on and on and on like this, the mind will become also very disturbed. Because actually the mind is like, how to say, it could be the best friend and it could be the best enemy. So the only way for the mind to be the best friend is to surrender to Krishna, is to be connected to Krishna. And to be connected to Krishna means to rise to the mode of goodness and to go to the mode of Sudha Sattva, pure goodness. Exactly where, I don't think even if it's in the Bhagavad Gita, maybe more in Bhagavatam. This is something I learned from various devotees. Different devotees told me that few times. I cannot mention where, but if you want, later you could approach some of the devotees and talk about it, and I think you will get the same answer. And so regarding the endeavor, it may happen. Actually, it happened to me many times in the past, and later on I was realizing that actually I was doing much more work and much more endeavor that it was required to achieve a certain goal. I don't know if you could relate to that, but if someone is really is quite in the mode of passion, he will never stop to act. He will do so many things. And after some time, if you look back about everything you have done and what you achieve very little for a lot of work. And it is explained that, for example, people in the mode of ignorance, they doesn't work so much because generally they are lazy and they practically don't do nothing, but they don't get any result at all practically. But people in the mode of passion, they are very, very active. They do so many things, they never stop, they sleep very little, and they eat very little, and they do so many things. And they achieve some result, they get something. And if you compare after with people in the mode of goodness, who are really studying the mode of goodness, who have knowledge about how to do something properly to get a certain resolve, they don't work very much actually. And it's quite similar to those people in the mode of ignorance. But the people in the mode of goodness, they act properly. And they do a little work, but they get the proper resolve. And those who are in passion, they work a lot, and they will not get more. But they work a lot, and they spend a lot of time. So those people who could gradually come to the mode of goodness, they will be able to save time and make a proper use of that time, mean to use it to cultivate Krishna consciousness and to not be overactive for, let's say, I will not say nothing, but they will spend a lot of time for very little resolve actually. Any comment or some question? No, I'm sure it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Where exactly this, I cannot say. But. Creation. Yeah. Mm. And there is some very nice story about how the mode acts to different people actually, and this is the story of Narada Muni. I don't know the Sanskrit word of the story, when the sages ask him to visit Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu and to test them to see who is God actually. And so the sages, they are wondering who is God, because sometimes God is the Lord is present as Brahma, the creator, or Shiva or Vishnu. So they was a little bit perplexed, so who is really God actually? And they want to do something, but they are not really inspired to do so because they are a little bit afraid of the reaction of the Lord actually. So they ask, I think it's Narada Muni, Madhugopal. Narada Muni, yeah, is the son of Brahma, is one of the son of Brahma. I don't remember the name, it's not Narada Muni. So they ask someone to make the test for them. So they call him, they say, okay, you will go visit Shiva and visit Brahma and Vishnu and to try to find out who is God, who is really residing in the mode of goodness. So this person went to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is known as, they have very special dress, he has snakes around the neck, he has ashes on him, and he looks like not really clean, but he's Lord Shiva, he's a manifestation of God actually. He's not a jiva, he's God but in a certain mood for a specific purpose. He's in charge of ignorance, so ultimately something manifests from that. And he go to visit Shiva and he don't give any respect to him, practically ignore it, and he say, what are you talking to me, you know, with your snake around your neck? And Lord Shiva just became angry like fire and he started to run after him and he was practically ready to kill him. You know? So clearly he understand that, okay, he's not on the mode of goodness, you know, he's really becoming angry very quickly, and this is some symptom of the mode of nature. So he just ran away, he don't stay so much. You know? And then he visit Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma was his father. So sorry, I don't remember the name of that person, but... And he visit Lord Brahma, and he don't give him so much respect. Like generally when a son visits the father, you know, he bow down, he give respect, and he praise him. So he don't do... He don't have a good behavior in that way. And Lord Brahma was disturbed from that. But because it was his son, he don't become so angry. And so... And the son keep going and don't give so much respect. So after some time, Lord Brahma became angry and he started to chastise him also. Not so heavily that Shiva. So the mode of passion was rising up. And that person again understand, he said, can it be God, because God is residing in the mode of goodness. So he went back to the sages, he explained the story. So the last one was Lord Vishnu. So he go to Lord Vishnu and he come to him and he just kick him with his foot. He just kick him, you know, he just beat him like this. And Lord Vishnu look at him, he doesn't react really, and he start to praise him, he start to invite him and to serve him. So the reaction was just the opposite. You know, he just come in a negative way, just kick him, and Lord Vishnu react completely positively actually. Start to serve him, to practically say that this is my fault, I deserve it. So then you understand that actually Vishnu is the manifestation of God, is God actually. And we could see when we see those pure devotees or like someone like Prabhupada, and they are never affected by external circumstance because they are always living in the mode of goodness, even in the mode of pure goodness. Sudha Sattva means Krishna consciousness. And they are extremely tolerant. They know that actually everything that happened around is not, like at the end of the purport, it is explained that the Krishna conscious person, they even ultimately, they understand that ultimately they are not responsible of their action. Because they could see, they could understand that everything is a manifestation of God. That everything is happening is made here right now to teach everyone, to teach something to everyone at the same time. And everything is like orchestrated by God actually. So everything is perfect actually. And what makes the difference is our perception, how we see what goes around. And again, if the mind is properly situated in Krishna consciousness, we will be able to understand, oh, this happened now, so what am I supposed to learn from that? It's not that this person is doing this to me to give me trouble. No, behind that there is some arrangement from God to teach us something. For that we learn and we develop better consciousness. So also Prabhupada often said that actually everything we see through the mirror of the mind. If we put blue glasses, we see the world blue. If you have red glasses, we will see the world red. So according to the mind, according to the position of the mind, if the mind is in the mode of ignorance or passion of goodness, we will see the same scene in a different way, with a different vision. And this is very important because more and more the mind realizes, more and more we realize our nature, our position, more and more we grow in the mode of goodness, more and more our vision became, the good vision. We will not see problem anymore. We will see some opportunity to grow in life, to learn something, to become more and more Krishna conscious. But if we forget Krishna, if the mind go at the right opposite, we will just see problem, we will live always in anxiety. Because the life around will never change. We have our karma, we have our destiny, we have to go through, but we have to learn how to go through properly, to don't over-suffer. Because suffering is there all the time. In the body, it will bring suffering. But the suffering of the mind could be reduced, it could be avoided, according to how we act, actually. Because most of the suffering are coming from the mind. It's like body gives some suffering, but the mind gives much more suffering than the gross body, actually. So if we learn to live in a more sattvic life, to focus more the mind in Krishna, suffering will reduce a lot. And there is plenty of example. If you see Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ, for example, he was putting on the cross, and he was praying for those who was killing him, and because his mind was focused on some higher potency. And Prabhupada, at the time of death, when we see the, I don't know if you see all the videos, the final lesson, when Prabhupada left the body, he was not affected at all. Although we heard many times that at the time of death is the biggest suffering, Prabhupada was keeping preaching. And at the last second, he was chanting the name of Krishna and just leave his body. So he was not affected at all by the circumstance. And when there is this Leela of Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplace. So and generally people was getting that punishment after 2-3 marketplace, they leave their body, they just die. And at the last one, the 22-1, he was still living, he was still chanting Hare Krishna. And he was still smiling to the guys who was beating him. And they don't understand. They say, but what is going on with you? We are supposed to kill you, but now we're going to be killed because we cannot kill you. And he started to say, okay, if I give you some any disturbance, okay, better I leave my body. So he just go to Samadhi, he look like dead, and they throw him in the river. And later on he get back to consciousness. And after it is explained that actually he was so Krishna conscious, when he was chanting with compassion for others. He was not chanting for getting protection or to get some, you know, some good result or some happiness, because his position was terrible, he was tortured. But he was chanting to please Krishna, he was chanting to serve, actually, because his service was to go through that punishment. For that the Lord later showed to everyone, showed to us even now when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, this Leela is present to teach us actually what is the proper path to follow and to be tolerant. And Haridas Thakur was extremely tolerant. And it is explained later on that actually he was not feeling any pain. Lord Chaitanya take all the pain actually. Haridas Thakur don't feel any pain during those 22 marketplace beating, actually, because the mind was fully fixed in Krishna. Yes. So, doesn't know what to do, and he shuts his mouth. He kind of look, building up in the eyes, and shuts his eyes. The other guy looked at him, you know, and the gym and green guy, the guy who gets also caution of the pie. But he's the boss, he brought the pie in, you know, he organized the party. That's why everyone looks at the pale, the divided pie, he's eating the mouth.
This
video is really showing the materialistic mentality.
Yes.
Yeah, the one get the pie, okay, he gives some to. It's clear, because it could be sure that actually, when someone is getting something in material world, Maya will take practically everything away, like those people was on the side, and actually what we should really do is take the pie and offer it to God directly. Then in return we will get much more. Yeah. Yeah. There is a story. It was told by Tamal Krishna Goswami, and how this explained how Maya could take over everything in our life. So it's like in an Indian train. I don't know if some of you take train in India. No? Never? They are really packed. It's like if you can take second class train in India, it's really an adventure. It's like... someone is sitting on the bank. He has some space. They have 2-3 space for him. And the train goes on. Then he stops in a station. And people come in the train. And a small skinny guy is coming and he's asking, "Can I sit with you?" He said, "Yeah, okay. You know, you have like 2-3 free seats. Okay, just sit." And the guy stays for a few minutes. Then he look in the corridor and he do like this. And he called, and one boy is coming, small kid is coming. He said, "My boy could sit with me?" He said, then the guy said, "Of course, yeah, let him sit." So one more place. Then he called another kid, then another kid, then 3-4 kids came. So the bank started to be full, and the men have to move a little bit to leave some space to the kids. And ultimately, at the end, he called his wife. So the wife is coming and is like, you know, a big strong woman coming, and my wife could sit, and the guys cannot really refuse because he will look like not really polite. So he say, okay, and then you have to move and run away. So in the same way, material energy is working like that. When we get something, soon or late, Maya will just take away everything. And gradually, gradually, in a tricky way, actually. So, better give everything to Krishna as soon as possible. Okay, we're going to finish here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.